Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Own the John Deere compact tractor you've always wanted. Now with 0% financing on all 1 through 4 series models at Ag Up Equipment. Visit agup.com. Offer ends April 30th, 2026. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Super Talk Eagle Hour back on the air from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. We're glad you're with us. Bob, Dima, and Kelly, opening segment of the show sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great place to take your family for a wonderful meal. Great place to cater your next event. Just good food 7 days a week. Dickey's Barbecue Pit here in Hattiesburg. Later in the show, we're going to answer a couple of questions today. Why does no member of the Southern Miss baseball team want Seth Smith dating their daughter? We're going to find that out. Why is a freshman, Dima Mixon, for Louisiana Tech trash-mouthing the Southern Miss baseball team?
No, that was bad. And not even to mention that, like, he said that he was already trashing. He threw in Coach Burroughs into that quote. He said Coach Lane Burroughs does not like Southern Miss, which is just obviously not true. I mean, Burroughs, you know, of course, great friends with Christian Ostrander. They go way back, and then he wears Corky Palmer's number.
In Scott Berry's wedding.
Yes. So, I mean.
I guess Coach Burroughs set this freshman down and said, son, you don't need to do anything to rile them up before they get down
here. I'll tell you what he did. He said, you're not saying anything to media for the rest of the year is what he
said.
That's
exactly what he said. And we have breaking news.
What?
Dima, go ahead.
I would like to say that, you know, we just got done interviewing Oz, and I was driving here, and I was like, that looks interesting. Breaking news, fencing up at Reed Green Coliseum. Everybody stay calm. Stay calm.
Yes, and we talked to Jeremy McClain about that just a moment ago, and here was the AD's reaction.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
I didn't know Jeremy sang.
Neither. That's perfectly on note and everything.
Boy, it's one thing to be a good singer, but when you do all four parts of the harmony, man,
more talented than we knew.
You wonder if he just said, can y'all just go put up a dang fence out there, even if you don't work on it?
So this is good news.
Yes.
Well, it's a long time coming.
So the renovation of Reed Green Coliseum, we can officially say, is underway.
Yes, and it was in the back, like Jeremy did say last time, that they will start with that practice facility, which is where the practice facility is going. So you have to think that they're on the right track. That's by far the first fencing we've ever seen up there. So.
No question. Well, speaking of basketball.
Oh, boy.
A bad night for the ladies, guys.
And do we have a sound effect of crickets?
Yeah.
What about a womp womp?
Oh, boy.
Bad night for the ladies, Kelly.
Yeah, and that was a game, as we talked about and documented on the show here, the game against South Alabama last night as the Lady Eagles tried to jockey for a 6 or 7 seed. That's one you just got to have.
Right.
Because, I mean, going into that game, South Alabama was toward the bottom of the standings. In fact, going into the game last night, South Alabama was 3-13 in the league. You know, and so they beat the Lady Eagles last night 57-43, but a couple of takeaways. And again, home or away, you're not going to beat anybody shooting 20% from the field.
Gosh.
And that's all the Lady Eagles could muster last night, 20.8%. And the thing is they created 19 South Alabama turnovers. So it's not like the Lady Jags were, you know, clicking on all cylinders. The Lady Eagles were tenacious defensively. But the shooting just killed them. And the other thing that killed them was they got hammered on the glass. I mean, South Alabama in the first half, 27-13, they out-rebounded the Lady Eagles. And to further the woes, the overall shooting woes, in the first half, Southern Miss shot 7.7% from the three-point area, which is an area that they've been certainly much better than that. But overall, 20.8% from the field, that's not gonna win many games. So the Lady Eagles dropped to 14-15 overall, 7-10 in conference. And when you look at the other standings now in the Sun Belt, there's already six or seven teams that are two games ahead of them, and there's only one game to play. So they do go to Monroe, who, you know, walloped them last time when Monroe came to Reed Green. They'll play tomorrow night. And so both the women's and men's teams, the way that it's looking now, when they were hoping for maybe that 6 or 7 seed, are now looking at a 10 or 11.
Yeah, it's not looking good. That was a disaster performance by the women. Like we covered yesterday on yesterday's show, if they would have won last night, the 6 seed would have been theirs to lose. In that scenario, now they dropped all the way down to the 9th seed, and because of how jumbled all of these standings are, if they were to lose to ULM on Friday, I mean, they're looking at a potential, you know, 7-11 scenario there. You'd be at the 12 or 13 seed, which would just be disaster chances for your, you know, chances to win the tournament. You go over to the men's side, of course, we covered them. You know, if they do not take care of business, not really take care, I mean, it's going to be a tough game to win at South Alabama tomorrow night. You know, they're looking at a potential, you know, 8-10 finish in conference, which would drop them to potentially all the way down into the to 10 or lower. So just disaster finish for the both men's and women's basketball teams.
And if those are the seeds that generally that both of them wind up with, one word to describe their chances at the tournament: impossible. I mean, it's just impossible to win that many games.
Which is why
days.
The bracket is set up that way,
right?
By the way, you know,
yeah,
I mean, it's not to credit them for not doing well in the regular season. It's to make the regular season games more important.
Yes,
because what was happening was these teams were going 500 and getting directly inserted to the quarter to only winning 3 games, and then they'd get fire hot. That's what happened to South Alabama a couple of seasons ago when Southern Miss was actually the 1 seed. You know, if Southern Miss was, remember that season where they were doing really good in men's basketball, they were the 1 seed. If they were under this bracket, they probably would have made the AA tournament.
So once again, the boil, trouble, toil and trouble, South Alabama's mojo or whatever they got going down there,
Well, this was a really bad loss for the women last night.
It was disastrous. Yeah. I mean, that was not a good South Alabama team. That's right. What's important to note.
Well, can you put your finger on what's happened?
They just couldn't shoot the basketball. Yeah, it wasn't like South Alabama was below. South Alabama only scored 57 points. Well, I mean, when you look at Southern Miss's, like recent games, like if we just look at, you know, their last few several games, they scored 80 against Troy, they scored 83 against Louisiana, they scored 86 against Texas State. 43 points last night. That's cutting your total in half. Yeah. And like I said, like South Alabama scored 57 points. Like they gave up 97 to Troy, they gave up 60. Like
couldn't shoot the ball.
Just can't even explain it.
And got hammered on the boards. That's really.
Isn't there some irony, though, that it's going to end at South Alabama?
Well, JT Crabtree, the voice of the Jaguars, is going to join us tomorrow on the show. And look, South Al is already sitting there with a bye in the first round, but they would certainly, there's still something to play for. I mean, they'd like to lock down the number one seed if they can in that tournament. And Southern Miss coming in there. And it's more of that South Al, Southern Miss thing that the Jags just seem to have the...
You know, I never believed in that until South Alabama beat Southern Miss in football this year, where, like, that South Alabama team was so bad, and Southern Miss was... And I understand that, you know, Braxton wasn't 100% healthy, not to get into football, but that was still, like, what? Because they remember they murdered him. It was, like, 35-7 at halftime or something.
So the regular season is finished tomorrow now. Both the men and women will finish the regular season.
So when do we figure they'll play their first tournament game?
I mean, right now it's looking like they're both playing on Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Next week.
To win Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Right? And Monday.
And Monday. The championship is on Tuesday. And the Sun Belt is one of the few conferences that does have their postseason tournament a week earlier than most of the other conferences. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a lot of work to be done, but you guys, and I get criticized for maybe being a little overly optimistic with the basketball prognosis.
You're still predicting that the tournament championship, Kelly,
no.
NCAA appearance?
No,
Didn't he predict that, sort of?
He did predict that.
I just said
I remember saying on the air. I said, let's hold back the reins a bit. It was a nice win against Troy. There's a lot to be played.
That was 2 weeks ago when they were in much better shape, but obviously much has transpired since then. But now with the current landscape, no, it's going to be nearly impossible for each team.
Yeah. I mean, of course, it'd be great if they did. But like you said, I mean, the tournament itself is positioned to not help the teams that
y'all
are
like that too, don't you?
Yes, I do. I think that's the way to do it. You know, there's some ways you could probably fix it a little bit to make it even better. But I think that's the way to do it because you have to make the regular season at least important, right? You have to make those conference games because what was happening is, you know, just teams were just basically resting their starters till the tournament.
And I'll tell you one thing I would do if you were going to tinker with it. I wouldn't let every team go to the tournament.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, it's a waste of time.
Well, it's a long tournament. Like, nobody is going to go out there other than parents and close friends for the Tuesday night game.
Right.
I mean, nobody's going to give up their work day for the 14 seed versus 11 seed,
and
right?
Stay the whole week.
Now, you know, and we're going to watch it on ESPN Plus, you know, when Southern Miss does play, but like, nobody's going to go down to Pensacola and, you know, it's just... Right.
And I think if some of the teams didn't qualify, candidly, a lot of those coaches would say, fine with me. I'm ready to have this thing over with. It's been a disastrous year.
Right. All right, when we come back, Dima was just at the presser with Coach Oz. We'll get a report on what he said. We're also going to hear from Seth Smith, who, one of mine and Kelly's favorites, we think is a very fluid baseball player. What his dad has to say to him, because his dad was a major leaguer. Interesting interview with Seth Smith coming up. And still to come, we're going to ask Matt Blinson of the Ruston Daily Ledger, what are they thinking in Ruston trash-mouthing the Golden Eagle baseball team?
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top.
To the top.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
This second segment of the Eagle Hour brought to you by Eagle Tire West. Former Southern Miss baseball player Matt Warren invites you to see him for premium Goodyear products and full auto and truck service at Eagle Tire West next to Smith Motor Company on Highway 98 in West Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985, Eagle Tire and Eagle Tire West. Goodyear Tires, full service, and big Southern Miss supporters. Kelly Sander, Dima Mixon, Bob Getty with you from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg. Dima, I know we talked about the final basketball games being tomorrow, but more specifically, they are both on the road. Mm-hmm. The ladies will end at Louisiana Monroe trying to avenge an earlier season loss when the Warhawks came here to Hattiesburg and really took care of business. And the men will travel to South Alabama before the conference tournament, the Sun Belt tournament, begins Tuesday down in Pensacola. So we should know as far as the actual seedings, and again, it's going to be a lot of uphill climbing, but we should know the actual seeding and the brackets for that tournament, I would guess, Saturday.
Yeah. They would probably release that Saturday for both men's and women's teams, and you'll get to see where the Golden Eagles will land and what time they'll play. You know, I'm going to pull it up here in a second for news and notes, and I'll just say if it was ended today, where they would be seated and what time they'd play, so on and so forth. Southern Miss baseball back in action this weekend against Louisiana Tech. We just talked to Christian Ostrander at Southern Miss for a nice little press conference to preview this really, really good Louisiana Tech baseball club. This is not going to be an easy series. Obviously, the Love Shack, never an easy place to play. Coach Ostrander and Coach Burroughs go back a long time. You know, this is awesome. I think it's awesome that Louisiana Tech's also coming into the Sun Belt, where this is going to be a recurring series. When you think about it, you know, these three rival series where you get, you know, Louisiana Tech, Louisiana, like the Cajuns, and then if you ever play Coastal Carolina in a, you know, weekend series again.
What's unique about it, too, is a lot of the same players they recruit. They all kind of in this area recruit, sure, the same kind, you know, guys, because Lane Burroughs was well connected when he was a coach at Southern Miss. And there are just so many of the players that you look up on the Louisiana Tech roster will have Mississippi behind them, and a lot of guys on the Southern Miss with Louisiana. So, I mean, they go after these same guys. They know each other very well. And, of course, will be a conference opponent, you know, at some point going forward. But, and I know you're going to include this in news and notes, but before we forget, three cheers for the softball team. They went on the road to Thibodaux last night and won down at Nichols.
Yeah, that was a big win for them. We'll obviously cover that, you know, in the next in the last segment. A little bit on Louisiana Tech before, you know, we get their beat writer on here. 8-1, 2026 record, their preseason projection by D1 Baseball, second in Conference USA. Here's some of their notable results. They beat Ohio State twice. Ohio State baseball. The Buckeyes, they beat them 6-0 in a 9-inning shutout, 9-3 over the Buckeyes in the second game. Then they beat Memphis, nice tight contest there, 6-run, 8th inning. They beat Northwestern State. Their only loss is to McNeese, the McNeese State, who also beat LSU. McNeese State beat LSU the other night. So according to Warren Nolan, their strength of schedule, number 16th nationally, 32 nationally. You know, they have a really good starting rotation. Their ERA overall, 2.52, which is really, really good. 1.17 whip. They've only allowed one home run of the whole season. Their Friday night guy, Declan Dahl, 3-0, 0.60 ERA with 12 strikeouts. Their Saturday guy hasn't given up an earned run all season. And then their Sunday guy was the Conference USA Freshman of the Year, and he's a 1.59 ERA. And then their closer, left-handed pitcher, Riley Fisher. So the Miss fans might remember him from last season. Really good guy from the left side arm. 10 innings pitched, 19 strikeouts, no walks, no earned runs.
Actually, when you compare the Tech pitching staff to the Southern Miss, there's a lot of similarities.
There really are.
In the way that the teams were put together. And I think, again, a lot of that goes back to the relationships that Lane Burrows, you know, cut his teeth on some of the coaches that a lot of Southern Miss people would know. So he's learned from some of the very best how to put together a baseball team. And I wonder who they put first in Conference USA. Sam Houston, maybe,
or Dallas Baptist.
Dallas Baptist. Okay. I would say.
I keep forgetting that Dallas Baptist is in there now.
In Conference USA baseball. But, you know, it's really interesting, and I think it's just great that, you know, Southern Miss, it's just another blockbuster series. You know, I think Louisiana Tech, if the cards fell right, they could be in a position to host. You know, if they were to win this series against Southern Miss, that'd be a huge weekend series for them. So obviously Southern Miss is going to have their hands full out there in Ruston, but it doesn't really help the Bulldogs for one of their freshman players to start calling out the Golden Eagles and saying, you know, we expect to sweep them or whatever he said.
Yeah, for those that maybe don't follow social media as closely as others, and I am one of them, I got to tell you, I'm not on social media a whole lot, even though I have all those accounts and whatnot. But what exactly did the young man say, and what has been some of the feedback from other inputs, shall we say, or other sources?
Yeah, well, our guest is the one who put this out on social media, so we can definitely ask him in the next segment. But basically he said, quote, Coach Burrows, he doesn't like Southern Miss. We're going to do everything we can to beat them. We want to sweep them, end quote. And that was freshman Casey McCoy, who said that in a post-game press conference after the Bulldogs won their midweek. Yeah, I mean, it's just surprising. First off, I don't think they're going to let this freshman talk again, because you just don't put that kind of, you know, bulletin board material out.
But other than his comment about supposedly what Lane Burrows said, the rest of the stuff was just common sense stuff. Of course you want to beat Southern Miss. Of course you want to sweep them.
Of course they're not going to.
Well, no, I would agree with that. But, I mean, if you are a player.
Well, I just think, like, roping your head coach into saying something that he never actually said is something that's a big no-no in media.
And if you've been around Lane Burrows a lot, too, he's kind of a no-nonsense guy.
Yes.
He's not the kind of guy you want to rile up if you're a freshman on his baseball team.
No, like I said, I don't think they're going to let this freshman speak to me.
It's called the Love Shack, but do you know who had a big hit on the music charts?
I've heard the Love Shack. I just the band is slipping my head. It's not Lionel Richie's.
No,
it's named after a bomber,
a military bomber.
Man, what is it?
The B-52s.
I know that song though. The Love Shack.
Yeah. Okay. Good for you, Dima.
Couldn't remember who the band was. I don't know why I thought it was Commodores.
Yes, yeah, Commodores.
So I don't know why I thought it was them. That's Brickhouse, by the way.
Yes.
We're going to be hearing from Matt Blinson from the Ruston Daily Ledger coming up. I'm hoping that we're going to get the Seth Smith interview up, but we're having some computer issues over here. Kelly, what have you done to my computer? It was working fine till you put your hands on it.
I don't even know how to make a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I looked at it. Oh, yeah, I was at Dima's this morning. We were going over some notes, and he does not know how to make a cup of coffee.
He also told me that you rousted him out of bed at 8 o'clock
in the morning. This man, okay.
Showed up at his
Bob,
house.
Bob, let me just say this. Bob, if you're going to come over to somebody's house, do you normally text or call and say, hey, what's a good time?
Absolutely.
This man calls me, and I'm still in bed, and he said, hey, I'm headed your way.
And?
A little bit of heads up would be nice.
As a mutual friend said, he is a little crude.
Yeah, well, you...
Actually, he doesn't even say anything other than, you got coffee? That's what he said on the phone.
Yeah. Is that what he said?
That's what he said. He said, hey, you got coffee over there? And so I was like, oh, he number one, I know you're
so
drinking.
I don't drink coffee. He came to your house looking for free stuff. Is that
correct?
Probably.
But the problem is that I don't drink coffee. I don't know how to make coffee. Kari, my wife, is the one who deals with all that, which, by the way, it's kind of bad. I probably should be making her coffee in the morning. I just don't know how to do it. But
then you take the little Keurig cup and you put it in the hole.
It's harder than that. Kelly learned it. This thing has about a 50,000 buttons. It's her, you know, cappuccino espresso mix stuff. I don't touch that because I'm going to break it. Then it's an $800 expense there.
Frappa lattes or whatever.
Whoever gave us that as one of our wedding gifts. Thank you very much.
What did you take from your presser with Oz this morning? Was there anything that jumped out at you?
I just think there's this distilled confidence about this team, right? Like, this is a really good Louisiana Tech ball club that they're going to see on this weekend. But it was just I've seen enough from this team to believe that even if they were down 4-2 in the seventh, they're going to probably win. You know, and I just think that confidence is so rare, especially this early in the season. And it's funny because I heard him on the national show that Super Talk does, Sports Talk Mississippi, talking to those guys, and they asked him a great question. They said, what's one thing that you're still looking to see? And Oz said, I'm looking to see what happens is when they do feel that adversity, for such as losing two or three games in a row, whenever that happens, you know.
Now, there have been grains of adversity.
Sure, where you lose your opener against UC Santa Barbara.
Drop a fly ball in the ninth inning.
And they've responded. So
yes.
I believe they're going to respond when that adversity happens. But I think that's the last thing Oz is kind of, looking to see. But there's still this, overarching sense of, instilled confidence in this group, in this veteran lineup. They're all veterans all over the field, and the pitching staff is just hands down unbelievable.
I always thought they could be very good, which they are more than very good. I'll tell you when I changed my adjective from very good to great, it was the performance against Oregon State.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's because Oregon State, I mean, it's arguable, but I think Oregon State was the best opponent they've played so far.
Yeah.
And they
Oregon
didn't.
Oregon State was in the World Series last year.
And they didn't just beat. I mean, they handled Oregon State. So not just everybody does that. So that's again, when I started looking at this team, they're even better than I thought they were. And they didn't have a lot of room to go up. But that was a great win.
All right, when we come back, we're going to go to Ruston, Louisiana, talk to a beat writer for the Ruston Daily Ledger. The computer's coming back to life, so hopefully in the last segment we can bring you the Seth Smith interview and answer the question of the week. Stay with us.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, DBAT sponsors the third segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. They're on Hardy Street, of course, state-of-the-art baseball, softball training. Appreciate all they do. As we do our friends at Forest Healthcare, they remind you that keeping up with your favorite team is fun this time of the year. But don't forget about the most important player, that's you. Get an annual physical, exercise, eat right. Be sure your health is as good as it can be. Forest Health can help you with expert medical care closer to home, foresthealth.org. And don't forget about our Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. That's where many, many of you find us every day. It's on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Alexa, or Siri. We'll play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Still to come, We'll hear from Seth Smith in the last segment of the show, but now we're going to go down to Rustin Blinson, gracious to join us. He's a writer for the Rustin Daily Ledger, and we appreciate him being on the show. Before we get to the serious stuff, let's talk about what popped up. Matt, we understand you're responsible for retweeting this. A freshman gets his first media avail and sticks his foot in his mouth. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say so. I appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah, Casey McCoy, you know, true freshman second baseman for the Bulldogs, who I think is going to end up having a great career at Louisiana Tech, but definitely kind of think the first you know, freshman lesson for him this season. You know, in post game on Tuesday, Louisiana Tech picks up a 5-2 midweek win over Northwestern State at the very end. Obviously, we were going to talk about what's coming up this weekend with Southern Miss coming to town, and just wanted to get his thoughts on the series. And you know, he made some comments that, yeah, in his words, he you know, Lane Burrows hates Southern Miss, and we want to do everything we can to sweep them. And you know, I certainly think that maybe the term "hate Southern Miss" and things like that just certainly, I think, blew out of proportion. And I think, yeah, it's just a case of a freshman, I think, you know, like you said, sticking his foot in his mouth. So I'm sure he got a talking to, and I would imagine, you know, Louisiana Tech is still going to be motivated, obviously, to prove themselves this weekend, but definitely probably wants to let their play on the field do most of the talking, I would imagine.
So you thought he was going to have a nice career at Louisiana
Tech. And Coach Burrows is not a guy you really want to mess around with, but right. Just been my observation. So, but, you know, as a freshman, and no one thinks Lane Burrows hates Southern Miss. There's a long-standing relationship between the programs and the coaches, and I'm sure you know about that as well, Matt. But what we hear is that Louisiana Tech will be a tough challenge. That they're off to a good start, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. 8-1 this season. They went to Memphis this past weekend, and you know, got a, obviously a very much needed sweep over Ohio State and Memphis after a really tough midweek loss to McNeese. Definitely kind of a hitch in the road there. But obviously, like I said, they've Ohio State, Memphis, and obviously picked up a midweek win, you know, earlier this week over Northwestern State. I think I really like their offense. They're loaded this year. I think they got a lot of returners. A couple of newcomers have really emerged, and I think what's really changed them so far this year is their starting pitching has just been elite. You know, again, the competition level, certainly not at the level that Southern Miss has played, but, you know, that being said, they played, you know, obviously Division I opponents, and obviously Houston Christian was in a regional last year. McNeese is a really good team. Obviously, they beat LSU the other night, so it's certainly not a, you know, a cupcake schedule by any means, but the starting pitching for Louisiana Tech has just been lights out. So I think for me, like that's the key for this weekend. Obviously, we know that Southern Miss, you know, has elite arms, but I feel like if Louisiana Tech starting pitching can continue what they're doing, I think they're going to be in a really good position to have a chance at this series.
Yeah. Talk about that rotation. You know, starting with the Friday guy, Declan Dowell, and you know, just go on. I mean, all these guys. Sub 2 ERAs to start the season, which is always good to see. And then the bullpen, you know, with obviously Riley Fisher, Southern Miss fans remember him. But so far, 10 innings pitched, 19 strikeouts, no walks. I mean, that's just about as good as you can do right there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Declan Dowell, as you mentioned, he's going to be their Friday night guy. He's a junior college transfer from Seminole State College. It was one of those things that Liam Burles has talked to us about the last couple of years of how they've kind of gone away from, you know, plucking from the Power Five, and they still have a couple guys, but they've really gone the JUCO route of, like, we want guys that produce, we want guys that have proven that they can eat up innings, that they can, you know, strike people out at any single level. And Dowell did that, you know, in two seasons at Seminole State, 143 strikeouts, 38 walks. And then, like you mentioned, just reading off his numbers there, he certainly has picked that up at Louisiana Tech. And I mean, you go to their Saturday guy, Hudson Rowan, he's a transfer from Florida State. He's equally been effective. You know, I definitely feel like he's definitely probably the most animated, I think, of their starting pitchers. I think some of the Miss fans, if they come to the ballpark on Saturday, you know, they're going to see Hudson, you know, chirp a little bit on the mound. He's going to talk after he, you know, picks up some strikeouts. This is kind of the way he plays. And I think the kind of that bulldog edge mentality is something that this coaching staff really appreciates. And then obviously their Sunday guy they're going to roll out there, you know, Brooks Robertson. He was the 2025 Conference USA Freshman of the Year last year. He's picked up right where he left off. He's been really effective. You know, he's got a nice, you know, two-seam fastball that he really, you know, bumps in there for strikes pretty effectively. And then, like you mentioned, I think that honestly is the question, and I think that's probably the way that Southern Miss is going to have to beat Louisiana Tech's pitching staff, is they're going to have to get to that bullpen quick. I think that's honestly the question for this group right now. You know, Blake Cooks came in as a preseason all-conference player as their closer. He's dealing with an elbow injury right now. We're not sure if he's even going to be available this weekend. And so, like you mentioned, Riley Fisher has kind of emerged as that closer type. Thomas Allen, a true freshman, has been a nice bridge guy in that bullpen. You know, Nate Kreider, Connor Nation, Luke Nichols. There's a couple names that, you know, Southern Miss fans are probably familiar with, but I think overall that bullpen still has a lot of questions of who is the guy that we can depend on to, you know, get us two innings of relief and then kind of close out a game for us. So I think right now, if you're Southern Miss, you want to get through these starters as quickly as possible and then, you know, see what Louisiana Tech kind of brings out of that bullpen.
And then with Louisiana Tech's offense, of course, you kind of mentioned it, but who are some players, you know, that Southern Miss fans will get to know? I mean, obviously Colby Lunsford, you know, Southern Miss fans remember him from last season, but maybe some others as well.
Yeah, I think, like you mentioned, it definitely starts with Lunsford. And right. This is a guy that, you know, at ULM did really not see the field a ton. I mean, he was just injured so much at ULM. And so I think, honestly, the Colby Lunsford that Southern Miss fans saw, like, this is not the same version. The power is definitely there in the bat, 4 home runs, 6 doubles. 455 batting average. He's starting at third base for the Bulldogs. He's going to hit in the top three of their order. Definitely one someone to watch. I think Trey Hawsey, you know, true sophomore at first base. He's definitely, you know, he had a hot bat here recently. Obviously, the Conference USA, you know, hitter of the week this past week. You know, he had a great weekend in Memphis. He's definitely a name to watch. I think Colton Coates at the top of the lineup, you know, their leadoff hitter, definitely does a great job getting on base. You know, definitely has some top in the bat. I think one guy that I'm still kind of waiting to, you know, break out, which is crazy to say because you look at his numbers on paper, I mean, he's obviously having a great year so far, but Sebastian Mexico, this is a guy that hit 12 home runs for them last year. He has yet to hit one this year, but he's still hitting, you know, 389 at the plate, 14 hits, you know, 8 RBIs. I mean, it's still a really great start to the season, but I think Louisiana Tech is still kind of waiting for him, Zeb Ruddle, a couple other guys that they brought back to maybe find the extra base power in their bat. And so I think there's some really great guys at the top of the order that have clearly produced, and I think there's some guys that they're waiting on to kind of, you know, get into that second gear, you know, the middle to the latter half of this order.
Continuing our conversation with Matt Blenson, who really can't be too bad of a guy when he's an Iowa State graduate.
Oh, here we go.
He had to insert that in there.
He just drags that up every opportunity he gets.
Think of never.
And no matter, Iowa State is not coming to Hattiesburg to play basketball. Kelly did ask our coach that, and the coach laughed at him.
So, yeah, well, it's not the first time coaches have laughed at me, right?
Real quick, Matt, we heard a little bit of what the freshman second baseman said about Southern Miss, but what has the coach said about playing Southern Miss?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, he knows that this is a massive opportunity. I mean, he clearly has been paying attention to the Golden Eagles. He knows that this is a proud program that obviously has postseason aspirations every single year. And, you know, these last 2 years, frankly, like Southern Miss has outcompeted and obviously won the last 2 weekend series against Louisiana Tech. Obviously, one in Hattiesburg and one in Ruston. So, you know, Lane Burrows told us, you know, after that Northwestern State win that, you know, this is a major opportunity for his group, you know, to not only prove that they can obviously beat the Golden Eagles and pick up a major series win, but, you know, you look at Louisiana Tech's schedule on paper and they have some nice, you know, midweek opportunities coming up here, you know, later this month. But really, this is kind of the big resume booster. When you look at their conference schedule, like they have to go to DBU, they got Liberty. There's a couple of good series later in the year, but this is kind of the one where if you want to be a regional team, especially if you want to be in the conversation to host, you have to win this series. And Lane Burrows said that as much, and he knows it's going to be a tall order. He obviously knows that it's going to get chippy, and it certainly, you know, like we were joking about at the beginning, the social media, you know, stuff at the beginning of this week only is going to add to that. But, you know, I think it's frankly a good thing. I mean, obviously, this is why Louisiana Tech is entering the Sun Belt. Like, obviously, these rivalries exist, these pre-existing, you know, relationships exist, and so I think for Louisiana Tech, they're embracing the rivalry. They're embracing kind of the nasty streak that both of these teams have against each other, and I think they recognize that. You know, frankly, the tougher, the grittier team is going to come out on top this weekend because there's going to be, you know, a lot of back and forth. There's going to be a lot of emotions, but it's about which team can kind of settle in and just play baseball.
Yeah, Matt, could you talk about that a little bit? Because there's been a lot of, like, quote-unquote hush-hush about, like, when Louisiana Tech's coming into the league. Like, I mean, there's just been so much, like, well, they might be coming in, they might not be coming in. Southern Miss, you know, has been, like, waiting to schedule their, you know, new football game or whatever, which they ended up doing. So that tells me that Louisiana Tech is definitely entering by the fall. I guess just update our listeners on that.
Yeah, I mean, everything that I've heard from the Louisiana Tech administration is that they are still planning a July, you know, entry into the Sun Belt. I think, frankly, all they're doing right now is just kind of working through some semantics, some language as far as, you know, the buyout that they have to play as far as the TV pay, as far as the TV revenue and things like that to the league. I mean, certainly, obviously, they've been busy here the past couple of months. Obviously, Conference USA sued Louisiana Tech, you know, for a public records kind of dispute. So I think they've been busy with that as well. So I would anticipate that within the next, you know, couple of weeks here, you're going to see some movement as far as, you know, maybe some schedule releases and things like that. But as far as I know, and as far as Louisiana Tech officials have made clear, The July is still the desired and the expected entry point for Louisiana Tech entering the Sun Belt. I think they're just still kind of winded, because, you know, I think just kind of get through some contract language and work some things out. But yeah, certainly, you know, we expect to see that football schedule here, you know, definitely by the end of this month, if not, you know, the middle of March for sure.
Matt, we really appreciate you coming on our program. We always look forward to playing Louisiana Tech in every sport, and we think this will be a great weekend matchup. And thank you, man, for your expertise and your time.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for guys having me on.
All right. Matt Blinson, everybody. Ruston Daily Ledger.
Did I tell you he went to Iowa State?
I think you mentioned it, Kelly. Yeah, I think you did. Yeah, yeah. Well, Kelly, Iowa State's not coming here to play basketball.
Just hang on, Bob.
Just let you know about that.
If they'll take a check, I could, you know.
Why does no one want Seth Smith dating their daughter? We're going to ask him next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Hey, MCS Home Center invites you to come see them for any remodeling projects, construction projects, lawn and garden projects you might have. They do a great job of providing all of that great material for the Pine Belt. They're local folks. They're on Highway 98 West. It's a beautiful store, and they're happy to serve you. So we strongly hope you'll do business with MCS Home Center, as well as Genesis of Hattiesburg and Mobe Beignet Company, fine sponsors of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Well, heard from Matt Blinson. Look for a really good matchup this weekend. Seth Smith is a player on the Southern Miss baseball team that's been really, I think, probably in the most intense battle, Dima, for a position between him and Ty Long. Would you say that's where most of the competition has been taking place?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was the one that really didn't know how that was going to end up. Of course, Ty Long ended up winning that position, but Seth Smith has given Ostrander no reason to take him out of the lineup after, you know, he started with a 750 batting average and a 1.650 OPS. So I don't think he's coming out of the lineup anytime soon.
I had a chance to talk to him after Tuesday night's game. Some of the guys had poked a little fun of him during the tournament out of Texas. We asked him about that, but more importantly, his play, his dad, who was a major league player, and how hard this kid has worked to get on the field. Okay, Seth Smith on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Been quite a weekend and a good Tuesday night for you. Talk about your game. You're really playing well.
Like I said, Sunday, I mean, I'm just seeing the ball well. I'm humbling myself and playing to my best ability, doing whatever I can to help this team win.
What's been the secret? What's worked so well for you?
I really have no idea. A little bit of luck, some confidence. I don't know, I've seen the ball well. Just trying to play for this team. This team's really special. We're going to do some good things this year.
Seth, you've been in a battle all year, back into spring training for the job at shortstop. Has that helped you fine-tune your game, though?
I mean, I'd say yes. Me and Ty are good buddies. We kind of joke with each other on and off the field. I want what's best for him. I think he wants what's best for me. You know, it's just something that we trust each other, and whoever's out there, we're going to pull for each other. We know they're going to get the job done.
Seth, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but, man, this team looks really, really good.
It does. We pride ourselves on taking things one game at a time, and so we're looking forward to playing La Tech and Ruston on Friday.
They were talking about you during the broadcast Saturday, and they were talking about your baseball pedigree and your dad's history. How much do you talk to your dad about baseball?
A lot of our conversations are baseball. If I'm ever struggling, he sees me ever getting too cocky or whatever, he'll put me in my place. He knows a lot about the game, and he helps me a lot mentally.
All right, I have to ask you this question. You probably know what's coming. There was a highly publicized interview with all your teammates before the start of the tournament, and for some reason, every one of them was asked, What is the one player on the team you would not want your daughter to date? And my man, you were the unanimous choice.
I know. I was just, as you can see in the video, I was pretty shocked. It's all good, clean fun. I don't think they meant anything by it. It was just a joke. I don't know. I feel like I'm a pretty good guy. So, I mean, I don't know.
Is it your walk-up song?
No, I do like the walk-up song. It's working for me. It's a good song. I don't know.
Did that come as a surprise to you? Did you have any idea they were going to do that?
Zero idea whatsoever. I had no clue.
But doesn't that speak to the brotherhood on this baseball team?
Yeah, there's a lot of old guys, a lot of guys that have been here for a while. We've grown close. Our chemistry's really really well. We bond really well. We love each other. You can see it as we play. Like anybody that's out here, we're going to pick them up as soon as they get back in the dugout and support them.
All right, that's Seth Smith, everybody, and I had a little fun with him, of course, and that was all in good fun. But his dad, pretty big major leaguer.
Yeah, let me tell you about Jason. Well, Jason Smith, his dad was born in Meridian, and a lot of people probably don't know that his dad's cousin is Austin Davis, former Southern Miss quarterback. So his dad
great
has
Southern Miss.
Yeah, one of the most probably underappreciated ones that we've ever had at Southern Miss. But
right.
His dad was an infielder, you know, played with, broke in with the Cubs and actually wound up retiring with the Astros after an 8-year career. But actually spent a year with my Detroit Tigers. So infielders.
Is that what ended his career?
No, he actually went on after that. Most people would say, yeah, if that's who I get to play for, then I'm done. But. To have a career, 9-year career as an infielder in the bigs, you got to be doing something
be pretty
right.
Good.
Yes.
It is weird the team said that about Seth Smith, because when you think about his walkout song, My Kind of Lover by Billy Squire,
I know,
you
can't be
complaining about that.
Yeah,
so.
No, it was all in good fun, and I think he enjoyed it, to be honest with you.
Demon, we're rubbing off on you, because Billy Squire's back more mine and Bob's time. Yeah. Than yours.
Go drink your coffee.
Good for you. I guess both you guys would agree, though. He's really made an impact the last few games. He's played very well.
I mean, he's probably the only reason they beat Southeastern Louisiana, number one. He had that 2-out single in the ninth, and then, obviously a huge weekend at Round Rock, and then the other night against Bama. I mean, 3-for-3 with a walk. I mean, just incredible production.
And Kelly, you and I have always liked that kid.
And there's nothing, this would never happen, especially at Southern Miss, but Seth Smith's the kind of guy that if you needed in an emergency to have a left fielder or put somebody behind the plate as a catcher,
second base, anywhere.
Mm-hmm. He's so good and so athletic, and his baseball acumen is off the chart. You could put him anywhere, and he would perform terrific, I think.
Yeah. Great kid. We had fun poking a little fun at him, as the team did, but all in good fun. All right, big weekend coming up, man. We'll be talking more about it tomorrow. Who we have tomorrow?
JT Crabtree, the radio voice of the South Owl Jags.
And Mark Etheridge with D1 Baseball.
Good stuff tomorrow.
Basketball and baseball.
Yeah. Hope you'll join us. Thanks for listening. Southern Miss.
To the top. Into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.